Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you like comedy podcasts?
No.
I do, and that's why I have one, with you.
Oh, good.
I'm Dave Ross.
I'm Hampton Yun.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a mental health podcast. It's about depression. It's about suicide. It's also about history, and it's also about...
having fun.
Dave and I having a blast.
Yeah, we talk about suicidal thoughts in us and other people because we've dealt with that stuff. So we joke around about it, try to bring some light to the subject.
Yeah, who are we talking about this week?
This week we're talking about Jean Weber, a French serial killer who committed suicide in 1910.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Serial and killers. I like both.
Oh, no.
No.
You're going to hate this episode, then.
Listen to Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever.
My butt.
I love you.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, where I have people rewrite famous movies and television shows they've never seen. We have a very special episode coming up. Lawrence of Arabia was rewritten by Dan Harmon.
Yeah, that's a real burn burner.
So please check it out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bloomington, Indiana, hello. From the lofty heights of the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Harmontown once again is in session. Please put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
He's making a drink because he drank too much backstage. Gotta make another drink.
That wouldn't make sense. I drank so much of it that I needed more. Whatever. Wow, the room's full. Hello, Bloomington. I love. You know, I'm a Midwesterner. Indiana's the Midwest, right? Okay. We're now even closer. We were in Pittsburgh last night, and I was starting to feel that familiar chill as I explained to my girlfriend. You know, there's different kinds of coldness, and we're getting closer and closer to the coldness of my home, a coldness that makes your heart cold and not just your skin. And but it's a different flavor. And Indiana's cold is feeling more and more like Milwaukee's cold. And we're in the Midwest, and I know that there's a culture that comes with the Midwest that is directly attributed to its climate. I know, you know, when you live someplace where it gets this cold. Like you are the product of people whose wagons broke down halfway to California, and who decided that this let's stick it out here. And there's a religion that has to come with that, a personal religion and a cosmic religion of don't have too much, you know, pretentiousness. Like we're an honest people in the Midwest because we don't want to commit the crime of being overly ambitious, overly cocky. Like we stick to that Icarus myth, like very much. When you move to California from the Midwest, the people always say you'll be back, and they mean it like as both an insult and a compliment. And I know you guys know this. I know Garrison Keillor already told you, and I know that every comic that comes through here probably reminds you of it because there's an outside perspective on that. Because I'm from the Midwest, Jeff. I want to celebrate Indiana as being the most exciting, specific state in the entire country. It's not.
What makes it so specific?
Well, there's a lot of things that make it very specific, Jeff.
Was the typewriter...
Or- As you know, I Wikipedia research every place we go. And I yeah, you can see in just the effort that someone took to let's see, I want. Sorry, I didn't actually have this up till you mentioned that. I this wasn't like a pre-rehearsed bit. He just reminded me of the fact that I don't know. Well, it doesn't matter. Why am I going to look? I don't read it. I looked at the Wikipedia thing and it said Indiana is the 19th state to blah blah blah. Everything's like right in the middle. Everything's like it's the 16th coldest state. It's the and then one thing it started real hot. It was like Indiana is the least extensive state in the contiguous United States west of the Appalachians. Just to, even an attempt to be the least something came up short. It just bobbed right to the middle of the tank. Like nothing extreme can be said or happen here. But we're going to change that tonight. We're going to make Indiana the most extreme place in the world. A guy just yelled out extreme Pringles for no reason. That's a new thing that happened here. A guy feeling comfortable yelling out extreme Pringles. Did you know, Jeff, that Indiana invented glass?
I thought that was the Phoenicians.
Did you know that Indiana has more murders with hammers?
Between the Appalachians and the Rockies.
Just the most murders with hammers, period. Out of anywhere in the world. Did you know, Jeff, that Indiana...
I did not know that. That's a...
Did you know they once successfully invaded Michigan?
Why didn't they annex it and keep it?
They because they're cool people. They're good people. They like it in Indiana. Did you know that fluorescent light was banned here for 13 years? Because there was a socialist mayor of Indianapolis. I don't know.
Worth a try.
Let's do also the state famous for its basketball sports corner.
Sports corner. Hey everybody, it's that time again for Dan Harmon, sports corner. He knows about sports. He knows you like sports. Gonna talk about sports.
Boy, the Hoosiers, Jeff, really, really out there dribbling the sphere. They got taking it basket to basket. It's been a great, great quarterly season.
Do you feel that Gene Hackman's coming down too hard on the team?
Hackman's always been an offensive coach. You know, in a time of defense, there are times when you got to go defense in the fiscal quarter.
Which of the four quarters is the most fiscal?
Certainly you got the winter conference, you got the spring conference, and you got the pumpkin bowl. But the Hackman obviously is going to be able to push that ball closer to the net. We're talking again about a game of yardage. In those fall months, that fall season, Jeff.
Right.
So the key is to handicap the players. You got to keep handicapping them.
How do you feel about the all this Notre Dame scandal?
Well, I mean that was chickens coming home to roost. When you have a team poised with that kind of hubris, you know, they're saying the things they're saying at the All-Stars, saying what they're saying at regionals, you know, saying again, doubling down at All-Star regionals. Like you've got a team that's got too much high game and not enough low game. They're taking too many three pointers, too many free agents, too much scrimmage, too much offense, Jeff, and that it was gonna crash, it was gonna come tumbling down. They built a glass menagerie, Jeff.
Gotcha. And do you like the Pacers this year? What do you think?
They're good. They're looking good. They got to keep those knees iced. They got to keep everything, their ducks in a row. Just keep focusing on the lines of scrimmage. Sports corner.
I had the volume down.
some facts about Bloomington, the city, Jeff. Six blocks from here is where Lincoln was shot.
The first time.
Yeah. Little Nelly got shot, winged in the leg on the way to a rehearsal for My American Cousin at the Ford Junior Theater.
Oh, yeah. Take a hint, Abe.
Yeah. People don't publicize it because they want to make him into a big martyr. The truth is, he was warned.
And that was back when he supported slavery.
Yes.
Yeah. Would have been a terrible news item back then.
Yeah. And you know, the guy who assassinated him, John Wilkes Bench, the guy that shot him the first time in the leg.
Oh, yeah. Gabriel Byrne.
You know what he...
Bench. Gabriel Byrne Bench.
You know what he said to him in Latin as he shot him in the leg? Tyrannus, Maltanus, Six Semper, Don't Anus, Nanus, which means...
Talk to the Hannes.
Which means, don't be a tyrant and this won't happen in a more fatal way to you. Yeah. And what did Lincoln do? Ooh, let's abolish slavery, go see a play, idiot. Had it coming. Yeah. Well, he didn't have it coming. Nobody has it coming. But he saw it coming. And he did it.
Is there a mouse in here?
This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Podcast listeners can't appreciate this, but there's a grip on the mic stand that you adjust the height of it. It's not usually there's a twisty thing. You've all seen that twisty motion that comics have to. As a man who's had to do this 20 nights in a row, I couldn't be more excited about this. this is like a professional like me invented this, Jeff. A professional entertainer. Let's get Spencer up here.
Yeah.
We've been bringing him up earlier and earlier in the show. Because the fact is, Spencer is the show.
Yeah. There's no bad Spencer. It's better to have him than not.
Yeah.
Hello, Spencer.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How was the merch table? How were sales?
Sales were average to subpar. Buy stuff, you guys.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's all right if you don't. I don't care. We're not trying to make any money or anything. We're
trying to free up the bus space. Our bus driver almost quit when he saw the amount of merch that we had endeavored to bring on this trip, because there's no room for us on the bus. There's just trash bags of shirts. We could have brought a third of that, probably, right?
Yeah. So tonight, Jeff, is it going to be? We couldn't figure out. We're a couple podcasts behind in the broadcasting of what we've been recording. You haven't yet heard the show in Arlington. Which was a little Nashville-y, I guess. I don't know. It was a little more kind of raucous, kind of sloppy Joe, I would say.
Arlington?
Yeah, I think we brought all black people up on stage.
Yeah, we had all eight black audience members up on stage. And we somehow managed to set civil rights back about 45 years.
But that's what we do out here. We experiment on the road. It was a fun show, but a drunken, raucous one. Then in Pittsburgh, I became very ill, I think, from shaking everyone's hands and things. And it's not on you.
It's on Rhode Island.
So something's on them that I'll Purell so you don't get it tonight. It was a emotionally cathartic show, Jeff.
Yeah. And then D&D became Sally Jesse Raphael, and there was deep sadness and deep ennui.
Yeah. Aaron and I talked to each other about our relationship during D&D. Brought the house down, but not in a funny ha-ha way. in a sad... Brought it down. Brought the house down. Emotionally. And then we ended... So the big question is, according to Joseph Campbell, was last night the meeting with the goddess? Therefore, is tonight the beginning of the troubles? Or was last night the end of a road of trials, therefore tonight is going to be weightless and carefree and mellow, like a kind of dream poppy meditative experience? Let's experiment with that first. Let's do you have any new age music in there, Jeff?
I have kind of like that.
Do you have something mellow?
That's, yeah, hang on a second, I do.
Can we bring the lights down just a little bit? Or
perfect. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Can we bring them down even more? Even more? Even more?
That's good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. That's really not the what I had in mind, what you're playing, but I don't think you have...
I
want a cosmic voyage. I want to go on a cosmic voyage.
I'm using all stuff for our movie that that we have like the right to use, like unlicensed stuff, so I don't have a whole...
Is there anybody in here... Is there a female vocalist in the room so talented that you think you could kind of riff just a melodic kind of... Like
an Enya
just
kind of thing?
Yeah, like an Enya kind of just copyright-free Enya kind of... See, I can practically do it. You shouldn't be that intimidated.
Anybody? Or
I see your hand raised. Do you want to come up?
All okay. Right.
Just give it a shot. You can't be.
Your name? Ruth, everybody. Wow. You got a Dalek snowman on your shirt. That's very cool. We see a lot of Doctor Who's t-shirts in our audience. I love that.
Yeah.
All right, Ruth.
That's why a new sports corner would work.
Enya was the idea?
Yeah, just kind of like a mythical...
New agey, like you're getting... Like
Middle Earth.
You're getting a massage, you know, maybe... Yeah.
Maybe quitting smoking, maybe...
Yeah, maybe an elf is you know, like a nimbly running through a woodland area or something.
Like a
that.
Non-smoking elf,
yeah.
You know, like
non-smoking
a...
Non-smoking elf.
Like
Close your eyes. Drift to the center. Come with me on a voyage of the cosmos. Your soul is not bound to your corporeal frame. It is rising above the stratosphere.
Nice reverb. Wow.
Hey, what are you doing?
Jeff, I'm sorry.
Jeez, I'm trying to relax these people.
I'm sorry. Pretend I'm not here.
Jesus, fucking asshole. Keep going. Sorry, where were we in the stratosphere? Okay. Your body pulls back, growing ever distant from its terrestrial origins. You see Jupiter pass on the right. Goodbye, Jupiter. It's a big planet, but not a lot happens there. Some say it's compensating for something. Some say that's a dumb joke. Then still others, and these are the people I'd agree with, I'm making it up, and you get what you pay for. Then another guy might come in and say, they probably paid a lot. And then maybe a sixth guy would come in and say, how much? A seventh guy would say, at least $20, I'm imagining. I don't know.
Hey, Ruth, what's up?
Sorry.
Yeah, what's going on there?
You're making me laugh too much.
You need
much.
A Halls tablet? Or
stay in the game, Ruth.
Jesus, I'm stuck just behind Jupiter. Floating out here like an asshole.
The cosmic show must go on.
Jeff, can I? I'm sorry. Every time you appear in the cosmos here, you sound a little ghostly. I don't know if you understand the difference between the cosmic things and spooky things.
I don't know what you mean, Dan. I'm a ghostly vampire. I've lived in the cosmos for 7 billion years.
Okay, sorry, please. I forgot your name, Cosmos Ruth. Lady. Ruth.
Yes.
Yeah, Ruth. Stand
make with the...
I'm not actually 90, if people want to know.
90?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, because you have an old lady's name?
Yeah.
Oh. Kind of never crossed my mind. No.
70 tops.
Ruthie Aslan, who edited Community's best seasons. She's a young, spry little hipster with Chuck Taylors. Ooh. Jeff.
Stealing my melody.
You're sinking in space now. We've lost our momentum. We're floating ever downward through space. To the space below space. Under space. Crawl space. There's a dead chipmunk here. It's been stinking up your universe for years. That's what that was. Let's grab that chipmunk. Scoop it out. Get rid of it. garbage. Is this special pickup required for that? If it sat there under your house for 2 years, it could certainly sit in the garbage for 3 days. Go back in the house. Reach for the highest cabinet you can find. Open it. There's a human head in it. Jason's come back. He's followed you to your home outside New York. And yet, so many years later, we'd make a big deal out of him going to Manhattan. It's not like he's a killer that hasn't traveled before. He seems to know the transit system. I think some of you 40-year-olds know what I'm talking about. Jason Voorhees,
plot holes. Let's get some consistency at table one, the 13th.
Sorry. You're rising up through your own roof, leaving Jason Voorhees behind. He can't get to you anymore. You're going back out into space. You see Jupiter again. Let's go past it. I think maybe Saturn. I can't keep track. I can't remember. There's Venus. That should have been. Okay, we're going the wrong way. I'm sorry. Apple Maps joke here. Sorry for deconstructing the Apple Maps joke instead of just giving it to you straight. But you, there's the sun. Definitely went the wrong way. Go into the center of the sun. Its heat can't hurt you. You have no body. Did you know the center of the sun is actually quite cold? It works like a refrigerator. You know, you touch the back of a refrigerator, it burns your hand, even though in the inside milk is cold. Cold here in the center of the sun. Have a glass of milk. Relax. Indiana, this is where you are, at the center of all. You will crave less cigarettes. Heavy creams and sauces cannot give you comfort. They will only make you gain weight. You will be more productive at work. More positive in your social affairs. Swimming will become easier for you. You will grow gills. You are now a member of my aquatic super army. Non-smoking, sauce-hating, supervising managers that swim 900 miles per hour. Now go back to Earth with you. Claim my birthright. All right, thank you, Ruth.
Ruth, everybody.
Rap. Shit. Rapping hard. Rapping in Indiana, in New York. Rapping to your mama. Rapping to your daddy. Rapping like I'm Irish and my name was Old Patty. Got a cookie on my titty and my dick. Rapped your mama. Your mama's name's Saint Nick. Put her in the chimney, pussy. I fucked your mama. Nothing rhymes with pussy. God damn it. What rhymes with pussy?
Nothing rhymes with pussy.
Wussy?
Wussy, yeah.
Yeah,
wussy.
But...
Gary Busey.
Wussy is it?
Gary Busey's not bad. Wait. Who said that? Get up on stage.
Yeah.
Rap battle. Come up on stage, sir.
Who said Gary Busey?
Yeah. Who said Gary Busey?
That was Busey.
Get up here.
Dude, yeah? Are you okay coming up? We just want to meet you. We just want to touch you. What's your name?
Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hi. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Gary Busey, it's not a firm rhyme, but it's, I think,
not,
it holds.
No, it's good enough,
I
man.
I thought it would kind of shoehorn there, a little bit in there.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's what rapping's all about.
You know,
rhyming shit that you didn't know rhymed. That's what makes Eminem a genius.
If you said Gary Busey, people would know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Busey. If I said, I fucked your mama's titties, I fucked her pussy, I made her ass crazy like her name was Gary Busey, like,
yeah.
People would be impressed by that.
Yeah. So,
they would have bought a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think you get a t-shirt. Give them
right
a t-shirt
on.
For Gary Busey.
Yeah. Thank you. Matt.
Matt, what's your fondest ambition? What can we somehow give to you in the form of even just fantasy?
Oh, dear God. I think that if Tori got her old face back.
Oh no, she'd been doing plastic surgery?
Yeah.
Oh no. I was in love with Tori Amos. You could probably imagine.
Maybe even, yeah. So now I was too.
Oh.
I hate to admit it. Sorry.
She just kind of destroyed her looks now with work?
Yeah. If you do the before and after, she has this very elfin. She had the dimples. Ooh. The dimples are gone. It's very bad.
That's a bummer.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I guess I could give that to you in the form of like a smartly improvised scene.
Okay.
All right. Yes. And there's nothing else? Can we add to that?
You go ahead. Just read it.
No, but I mean like, I'm hearing the word pickle. No, I meant like anything else like that you want
from
life.
Well, what happens in the 13th episode after Giorgio Moroder helps save the Earth?
Giorgio who?
Was it?
Oh.
Yeah, it's my smooth music.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's a Yacht Rock t-shirt.
Oh, Yacht Rock. Holy fuck. Wow. Yacht Rock.
But you're asking, is it a trivia question or is it an ending that you don't know?
Will there ever be another episode?
Oh, yeah. I don't, that J.D. Risner, I'd have to know that. Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, I'm just a guy. I just played, what's his name?
You don't even know.
I can't remember his name. Ted Templeman.
Yeah. I played David Lee Roth.
Yeah. Same episode.
Well, I want Gary Busey to be in the next Star Wars.
All right. Done.
All right.
Yes. All right.
Gary Busey is in the next Star Wars?
And Tori Amos gets her face fixed. All right. Thank you, Matt.
Disney, it's all possible. Thank you.
Absolutely.
God. Let's hear it for Matt.
Matt, everybody.
This episode of Harmontown is brought to you by Fulton & Rourke. Jeff, you're sick of spilling all your colognes all over the place. You hate liquid colognes. Is that correct?
It's my nemesis. It's the thing that gives me nightmare dreams all night long.
I can't remember how many times I've walked in on you just covered in sticky, wet cologne.
I have traveled and broken a bottle of the cologne that I wear, and then my luggage smells like a French whorehouse for the rest of time.
Yeah. But Fulton & Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable.
Now, when you say solid colognes, do you mean like solid in the jazz sense? Like, wow, that jazz solo was solid.
You know, I do mean that, but I also mean physically solid as well.
Oh, like a little... Like, you're talking about a wax-based cologne that travels in a little small package that I can't spill all over my luggage and smell like a Mexican tit house. So these are travel-friendly, wax-based colognes that can go anywhere?
Plus, there's nothing to break or spill, and of course, they all smell fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like a Mexican tit house.
I mean, there's different levels of Mexican tit house. I mean, there's the high-quality ones, there's the ones that you wish you didn't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Titas Fantasticos.
Is one of their fragrances called Mexican tit house?
Yeah.
Que Fantastico.
Fulton & Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth.
Also, you don't even have to touch it. It comes and does it in the night.
Well, that's amazing. That's literally unbelievable.
Did you know, Spencer, that GQ magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today?
Well, yeah, of course I knew that. Why would you ask?
I mean, who am I asking? I mean, this guy, you go to his house... It's like an episode of Hoarders. So many back issues of GQ magazine there.
Right. And I got to tell you, my house is made out of bricks of cologne.
Wax-based cologne, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it yourself at FultonAndRourke.com and save 15% off your purchase by using the code FERAL, F-E-R-A-L, at checkout.
That's FERAL at checkout.
Smell good for once, you fucking bums.
Fulton and Rourke, get your smelling good.
Fulton and Rourke, time to get your stink on.
Off.
Get your bad stink off and get your good stink on.
Fulton and Rourke.
Not by Menon. Different corporation.
By Fulton and Rourke.
Dun! It is a dark time for the rebellion. Gary Busey's in Star Wars. And Tori Amos is on planet Boogaflap, looking at her face.
I want it to be prettier.
Subtitles, would you like a better looking face, Jedi Tori?
Yes, I would.
From outside, blast the door, blasts open. Copyright infringement.
Winch comes out of her face and goes up to a rafter. She goes up to a thing on the roof, and there's a clinic, and she gets a better face. You can kind of, part of good improv is knowing when you when to throw in the towel. No, that's the end. That's the you were back to the DVD menu there. That's why he was. Let's go to special features.
Yeah, deleted Gary Busey scenes.
Special features, deleted Gary Busey scenes. Featurette featuring Gary Busey talking behind the scenes about,
it's been a very interesting experience. When you Star Wars is not a movie. It's a state of mind, and it's merged with what I've done to create a shamanic experience.
Subtitles, Star Wars is not a movie, it's a state of mind to create a sort of shamanic experience.
All right. Well, I hope Matt got what he wanted out of that.
Well, I think the audience got what they wanted.
Yeah. Deleted scene where Gary Busey faces down with, I guess... Darth Vader.
He spaces down?
Yeah, he spaces down.
What does that mean?
I said I was trying to say faces off, and I got a little drunk.
Okay. No. It's a rare. It's a space down.
Surrender your lightsaber, Darth Vader. It's something you need to do to understand the way the world works. You're fucked up. You know, that's a very interesting phrase people use when they speak of me, fucked up. So it makes me wonder why the world's fucked up. It's like their polarity is
more... You should have worn a helmet. I do.
All right, yeah. Deleted scene from Star Wars Gary Busey. Yeah.
You guys didn't know you're going to come in here and get fucking high octane Whose Line Is It Anyway style improv up here.
I like to sprinkle a little in.
Yeah, you're a quadruple threat.
I don't mind. I don't mind.
You got improv, rapping, sports knowledge.
Yeah,
and
I don't mind springing a little, yeah, like a little mainstream, like really really tight, awesome comedy like that into the show.
Yeah, I feel like Spencer was not used enough in that. We misused a resource there.
Spencer, what does it sound like when shit.
Is this doing the thing?
Yeah.
Just making sure.
We found a thing that Spencer can do. He can kind of freestyle Dungeon Master any kind of monster attacking you.
So you can make up a monster and he instantly goes into what like the character description of that monster.
Spencer,
Gary Busey.
A guy that I don't recognize walks into the room. He says he's from things, but you're not entirely sure.
Yeah.
He might just be one of LA's crazy people. Okay. Sorry, I don't watch movies.
He doesn't know who Gary Busey is, right?
That's right.
I mean, I know who he is. He's a guy who's famous for, like, acting.
Yeah.
But, like, that describes many, many people.
He was in Point Break. Did you ever see that?
What?
That was a good Keanu impression,
everyone,
actually.
Shut up! Yeah, no.
You don't watch any movies?
I don't watch most movies. If someone says, "Do you want to watch a movie?" I'll say, "Nope."
That's a good policy. It's kept your brain free for like every entry in the Monster Manual.
Yeah, all the other, you know, useless factoid information.
You know what an owlbear is? You know that you know an owlbear's armor class.
No, it's 16. That might not be right. You don't know.
Yeah. In my day, armor class was negative numbers.
Yeah, it was THACO was a thing.
Yeah.
Good time.
To hit armor class zero, yeah.
Yeah, it used to actually be hard.
Yeah. Spencer.
Just name a not movie reference or something.
All right. All right. A divorced employee of a craft store.
Craft store.
That's the monster that's attacking us.
You hear the steps and jangles of someone with way too many items in his apron. You smell the whiskey before you see him, but rounding the corner is a drunken craft employee. He's holding handfuls of paper stickers that no doubt cost 20 times more what you'd pay for them.
All right.
Yeah.
Divorced craft star employee.
That was a hard one.
He started drinking after the divorce.
How about Spencer? Dan Harmon waking up on the tour bus. How about that one? Yeah.
The door creaks open, and you can hear several people running for cover. You hear the of the sliding privacy curtain, and then a thump as a large figure rolls out of bed onto the floor. Standing at full height, he arranges himself before scratching his belly and moving to the next room. That's all.
We got to bring up the guy that is dressed as my wizard character. Yeah,
there's a Dan Harmon Gandalf thing going on here. What is your name?
Cayman.
Well, come on stage. Cayman, for the people listening, he's wearing a blue bathrobe. He has is it a scepter, a walking stick? What do you got there? What do you call those?
Wizard staff.
Yeah, there you go. With the kettle one, a light up kettle one. For Ray of Frost. He has a light up blue kettle one bottle on top of a staff.
And he's got is that a prop or are you really drinking Kettle One tonight?
I figured if I'm going to be dressing up like you, I should LARP and drink vodka as well.
Here's to LARPing.
LARP it up.
Live action role playing. That's kind of what this podcast has become, Jeff, as working our relationship troubles out on stage, bringing people up, talking in real time to the people. We are LARPing. Harmontown is LARPing.
Now, do you live alone? Do you have roommates, a girlfriend?
No, I live alone, and I was actually supposed to come with a girl, but she canceled on me. So, yeah.
Would she have got?
Well, but I see the irony in that statement too.
Would she have understood what the purpose of all this was?
No, she was completely. She had no idea what Harmontown was.
Is that why she didn't come? Do you think possibly?
No. Well, she said she was sick. So.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. What's her name?
Grace, I believe.
Fuck you, Grace. No.
Okay. Yeah, more like clumsy.
Yeah.
2 days minimum. Notice. Grace. How ironic. I'm going to name you Grace so you're out in the world and trip over people's feelings. Go. Be a bull in a china shop, Grace. She sounds like an awful person.
Maybe she's having a grace period.
She's been thriving on the part of the universe for how old is she?
I don't actually know.
23 years. And tonight the irony is that if she had come here, she would have avoided that blimp accident.
Did you just curse Grace with a blimp accident?
Saying that's how timelines work and shit, sliding doors stuff. If she would have, you guys Facebooked each other, you were like, okay, one last ritual before we meet at the Comedy Attic, let's each send each other photos of what we're wearing to make sure that we don't wear the same thing. And then she's sick all of a sudden.
Ironically, though, this is the only periwinkle blue robe I could find was a woman's robe.
Oh,
yeah. So
is that's periwinkle, huh?
Actually, I don't know. Periwinkle's a hard color to find.
Oh, yeah.
It's powder blue, right? Yeah.
It's blue.
There's all exclusively female voices like calling out all kinds of. The room became a vocal swatch catalog for a second. Robin's eggs, aquafoam, sing zang. A lot of nurseries going up this part of town this weekend. I would just say blue. I see navy blue as black. Is that a kind of color blindness or?
Oh, under certain light, because you normally hang out in dark environments.
It's true.
Like I wear a navy blue suit, you'd think it was black.
Yeah, that's black, right?
Nope. This is
charcoal.
This is tangerine.
I mean, charcoal. That charcoal's different from black, but charcoal's
totally black. Charcoal.
No, it's smokier.
It's dumb. It seems like a dumb thing to spend your brain on. Artists.
What do you have on? A kind of a pumpkin? A rust? What is this?
It's red.
It's not red.
Red and brown.
No, because yours is orangish, right?
Mine's more red.
Red.
I'd say his has a bit more orange than
same
mine,
color.
But still pretty red. Yours is made out of multiple different colors of material woven together.
Dumb. Colors are dumb.
Fuck colors.
Colors, sports, most bands, horoscopes, other people, magic, Harry Potter. Yeah, I knew. I didn't come here to win a popularity contest. I mean, I saw that last Harry Potter movie is playing in the hotel rooms. You don't mind hanging out here?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. That last Harry Potter movie is playing in the hotel rooms right now. It's kind of in rotation. I can't. There's like, I made a joke, like, put on the Harry Potter movie to Erin, and she's like, oh, I can't believe it's on. It's like, there's 900 of them, and they're all the same. Those are Deathly Shadows part 7 or whatever, and like, they sure know how to make a war between wizards look a lot like standing around. Like, I don't know what contrivance you have to engage in before you get to this point in where there's a bunch of wizards fighting a bunch of other wizards, but I would think at that point even a 6-year-old could make it exciting. You know, like, you go, there's two armies of wizards. Now, at least for this part, we could get a little interesting. And I did see a couple giant spiders, but they were really buried in the background. dumb movies.
Spencer,
so much. The movie keeps jabbing you in the ribs and going, huh? How about that book, huh? Fuck you. I didn't read the book. I waited for the movie. I'm not a bad person. I don't care. It reminds you of the book. It's stupid. I read the book then if you like it so much.
Irish Jerry Seinfeld, what are you doing here?
It's like, are you going to occupy us or aren't you? How many cars do we have to blow up? Ceasefire. More like an incessant fire. Anyways, it's called rugby, but there's grass everywhere. Why not call it Graspy?
Irish Jerry Seinfeld, everybody.
I like that you decided that it was over, too. All right.
Wait, you could top that one? You were going to top Graspy?
No, well, I was going to try.
Oh,
but
do it. Well, fuck it. Let's do it.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to stage, Irish Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, hello. Oh. Some things just don't make any sense when you look around and observe them through your Irish eyes. You know, why are horseshoes lucky? The worst case scenario is they fall on your head. The best case is they just sit there. How is that lucky? It's not lucky for the horse. You think they like getting those put on them? Probably hurts. Fuck you guys. Glenn Levitt? Glenn... Oh, that's Scottish. What's the difference between Irish and Scottish? You ever wonder? It all comes down to the skirts. It's like, you know... I'm Irish Jerry Seinfeld.
Potato famine.
I mean, what? So what if the potatoes ran out? Have a hot dog.
It's stupid. That's so dumb.
That's more offensive to Jerry Seinfeld than to Irish people.
Yeah, well, he's had years to write stuff down. Clayman?
Cayman. Yeah.
Should be Clayman.
Yeah, I agree.
Bill Clayman.
That's my Alan Rickman.
Oh, so are you Professor Snape now?
No, that's from Die Hard.
Oh.
When Bruce Willis asks him, which, I never got your name. And then Bruce Willis is looking at the sign behind him, and then you know, Alan Rickman, without looking at the sign, says,
"Clay, Bill Clay,"
and then they engage in this beautiful dance between hero and villain.
But they show Clay W, right? So his name might be William. So like he puts an extra little thing in there.
Yeah, a little fucking reality spin, like because he's done his work, and it's like the hero and the villain are doing this ballet, and there's, you know, it's like, and then he's, and Bruce Willis starts to walk away, and Alan Rickman goes, "She finished the Schuckenbachenbunden."
The what? The what? The huh?
No. That's Shoot the Glass. That's later.
Oh.
And then he points the gun at him, and Bruce Willis goes, "It's a hell of an accent, Hans. You could be in fucking Hollywood with that accent." And then he tries to shoot him like he did with Takagi. Click. Oh, what do you think? I'm a fucking idiot. He takes the gun. It's amazing. It's a great movie. You should rent it.
Bill Clay.
Cayman, have you seen Die Hard?
Die Hard.
I have many times.
Die Hard, not in the Criterion collection of films.
Well, Dan, do you consider it a Christmas movie?
Yeah. I think it's a great Christmas movie. But I also think it's a great, great movie, plain and simple. Not such a great movie, Armageddon, in the Criterion collection.
Armageddon's in the Criterion collection?
Yeah. Yep. Fucking weird. The Rock, also in the Criterion collection.
Well, yeah.
Now I'm starting to... Yeah, there's some kind of... something, some payola going on here. More like Cash Tyrion. Right? There's some kind of something happening here, right? Cayman?
Indeed.
Cayman, what do you do?
I'm a scientist, actually.
For real?
Yeah.
In what field?
Kind of a combination of fields. I study planets around other stars and what they need to be able to support life.
Is that planetary geologist?
It's like a combination of geology and astronomy.
Really? How cool.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah. So you look for like planets that might be like Earth-like planets that could sustain life based on their proximity to their star or their...
Yeah, and what they're made of and all sorts of other things.
And so we're finding these new planets all the time now, right? We're finding like 100...
Yeah, we've got like over 750 confirmed ones. So.
That are confirmed possible Earth-type...
No, like Earth-like, we're actually having a very hard time finding them.
What are the 750? 750 what?
Do you mean just planets, whether they're the size of Jupiter or bigger than Earth.
Just planets. Oh, yeah. I thought we'd confirmed
them. I thought we're finding planets by the thousands and thousands.
Right, but we haven't confirmed them yet.
Oh, I see. So, yeah. You have to actually... Like,
how does a planet get confirmed?
Hit it with a BB gun.
Right, yeah.
Takes forever.
Yeah. They have two little flags hanging from their hips, and you got to pull one off.
How do you confirm it?
Well, you just go back and look with another nerd telescope.
Oh,
and,
so it's like...
And
so it's
see a, if it... Check if your antenna's
right.
Yeah,
it could be a smudge on one guy's telescope.
Exactly,
Those Swedish fuckers. Okay.
What telescope do you guys use?
I don't actually use a telescope, so I steal other people's data. So.
What is your task? Like, what's your role in all this?
So I look more at the chemistry end and say, if you've got this much oxygen and this much other stuff, can you make a planet that is habitable?
Right. So. And there's nothing that you in the near or distant universe that you think could sustain life?
Oh, I think
possibly.
Yeah, it's. I would say it would be weird if Earth was the only one.
Oh, so. Certainly, yeah. But like, even in our own solar system, like there's like Enceladus, or there's some moons of, you know, like that.
Yeah.
That they think that we know there's liquid water there, and there's more extreme environments on Earth where life does exist, or at least did. So it'd be logical to think it's possible there, right?
Right. It's, and my research is saying, what does it take to get to that point of making it possible?
Uh-huh.
And does your expertise probably stop somewhere short of my next question, which is, on these planets that are capable of that they have a kind of an Earth approximate environment, and then carbon based life springs up on them, how kind of inevitable is sentience, or is that like a weird flash in the pan too, that it would be like, this is a really dumb question.
So it's definitely a more of a biology question, but
I said so.
Well, but
I'm a scientist too.
Yeah, but Dan, I thought you had a biology degree.
No, not a degree. Yeah. No. Yeah.
So we don't know, but there's this really cool thing called the Drake equation, which is sort of a calculation of how likely would sentient life be in, and one of the parameters is what are the chances of sentience, and we don't know.
Yeah.
So that's a cool question.
I mean, it's kind of, because it's like, we think with our sentience that it's inevitable, even if you're not a religious
right
person,
now.
Because we like I tend to think with the atheist part of my brain even, that that, oh, of course, a planet that lives and breathes and that has life crop up on it. Of course, the final goal is the biological weapon known as
can I stop you for
giant
a second?
Brain.
Just realize you're talking to a guy in a bathrobe on stage. So who's the crazy one?
You said you were a scientist. I can say anything I want. I have confidentiality, right?
He might not be a scientist. Wait, he works at our hotel.
Wait, that's my bathroom.
He's wearing your shoes.
We haven't really had like a stalker yet on the tour.
No, far from a stalker. Well, I mean, I drove pretty far to get here, so it's kind of hard to.
The thing is, like, people drive. Like, I talked to everybody after the show, and that's willing to stick around that long. And I, and as long as they have some kind of flu on their hands.
That's red.
One of your girlfriend's red hairs have been hanging off your chin like some sort of weird.
Oh,
tendril.
Really? Was that really distracting all that time?
Now, sorry. Look at this. It's.
Just say something next time. Not that this will happen again a lot, but just say something.
If I'd have said something, you would have fumbled with it. You never would have got it out.
No, I'm telling even them.
Oh,
like they're the ones that were dealing with it. The applause that occurred when you did that makes me feel really bad. Makes me feel like you zipped up my fly.
Well, the thing is, from my vantage point, because I'm stage left of you, and the hair I think was stage right, and it was kind of falling little by little. I just like one of the hairs of your beard was growing, and I was like, something fucking weird's going on.
When you were talking to somebody, and they just got the slightest white fleck on their lip, and it's such a bummer because you don't want to.
Right now, everyone went.
It's like not their fault. It's not your fault. It's not your responsibility. It's not theirs. You don't know what to do. They're talking. And they have a fleck of foam on their lip, and there was a guy in Amsterdam that was telling us about windmills, and he wasn't speaking in English. He was speaking in whatever they speak there, windmill talk, and he was just talking, and he was all excited about windmills and how they mill things using the wind power, and just this little bubble of spit came out, and just rolled over his lip, and it was just there, and I don't speak Swedish or whatever they talk anyway,
Dutch.
So I was just focused on this thing and his lip, and that just popped in my head when you pull. I didn't want them to be subjected to that. If there's a hair, anything, it could be a piece of egg on your forehead. You know, we need rules for that stuff.
Or just maybe a friend comes up and takes it off and gets a big laugh out of it.
But you can't always do that. Sometimes you're talking to a guy about windmills, you know? And sometimes who cares? You know, I ate in a restaurant on that same vacation. I was in London, had Christmas dinner with Rob Schraub and his wife, Kate Freund, and my girlfriend, Erin, having a little couple's Christmas vacation in Europe because we're fancy. And we were in this restaurant in London, and a little bit of a tumult at the entrance, and people file in, and then this wheelchair comes in, Stephen Hawking.
Wow.
Yeah, he ate like 9 feet from me. Everybody was like trying to take pictures of him. I didn't want to be like a fly on a turd.
Yeah, you can't really walk up and go, excuse me, can I have a word with Mr. Hawking real quick?
Schraub kept saying, he kept going, go tell him you created community. He was on The Simpsons. It's like a 40% chance he might have. I was like, first of all, thank you, Rob. But second of all, it doesn't. I think if I were Stephen Hawking and a guy came over and said like if you came over, you're a scientist. I think
I am. Yeah.
Then I would be like then I would feel okay going up to him. So like I kind of understand some of the things you talk about and why you are famous. And I teach a class or something. If I had a photo on my wall of me posing with you, that would be cool. And then he'd be like, yeah, it's okay. And but like regular people coming up to him and going like, hey, wheelchair guy, like it's like, I know you've invented black holes, but like you don't really, I don't understand anything he does. I don't understand why he's, you know, I feel like I'm not allowed to take a picture of him. Especially because he's in a wheelchair.
If he were just a nice, ambulatory dude having dinner, would you have felt comfortable walking up to him then?
I'm not sure. That's a really interesting question. Because part of Stephen Hawking's charisma is like, oh God, he's all brain. We're all thinking it, like that. It's amazing that it's like this cool poetic thing. Like, oh man, God took all his body power and put it into his head. It's like a little balloon.
Like, put all the air into one section of it, and
I heard something.
Neat.
That,
it's neat.
I heard something that like he keeps being found with like bruises on his body, and like and he keeps saying like, oh my, I fell out of my chair, but like the injuries aren't consistent with somebody falling out of a chair, and they think that it may be like kind of S&M kind of stuff. Like he's having. Has anybody heard that?
I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like yeah, like it's if your body is very limited in its movement and probably limited in its sensation, like sex might involve just like a broom handle just fucking whack, you know, like right. And also fucking if anyone deserves it, it's him.
Yeah,
he's like
Jolly Rogers.
Say what?
Let him get his Jolly Rogers.
Let him get his Jolly Rogers, says a gay pirate over here.
Let him get his Why add Rogers? Like, is that an Indiana thing? We just. It's just jollies in Los Angeles. Maybe we have more shit to do. Jolly Rogers.
Yeah. He's sucking me nuts.
Why are pirates always getting their nuts sucked? Oh, I'm Jerry McSeinfeld. Why is it pieces of eight? Why not just take eight pieces?
Nope.
I can't. Hey, cast a wide net. I'm gonna hit a couple. I'll get another Graspy.
Yeah. Right. Graspy was a goodie. That was a goodie.
That was fucking good. It's so good you didn't even get it until I said.
Oh, I got it.
I said, why do they call it rugby? There's grass everywhere, and you went, whoa. No, what? And then I said, call it Graspy, and you're like, whoa. Like, and I was like, yeah, I fucking. Like,
Dan,
was like,
I got it. I got it.
Alright. Well, I remembered it different. I felt like hitting the 7-10 split. Like it was kind of like I hit the thing, and then you were like, "What?" And there was a delay, and then the ball went in the thing. I'm mixing sports.
Is this sports corner again?
Yeah. All right. Breakdown, rap and sports corner. Sports corner introduction or rap? You don't know. It's a Schrodinger's rap. Is it an intro or a regular rap? You don't know till the positrons collide with the negatrons. Gonna open the box, it's theoretical. Fucked your mama like her name was hypothetical. It's the same word, basically. Fucked your mom like her name was Pythagoras. Fucked your mom like she was a stegosaurus, kind of. It's all scientific words, doesn't matter. Okay, thank you. Science rap.
Schrodinger's rap.
I won't question what you guys deem worthy of applause, but I just won't.
but you disagree with that applause.
Frankly, sirs and madams, I disagree
with your applause there.
I wouldn't let me get away that easy, is what I'm saying. You paid top dollar. What were the tickets? $20? Okay, that's pretty good. Who drove the...
What?
$100? Oh, you're joking. Some girl said, what? I paid $100. And it was worth it, right? Who drove the furthest? Sometimes that's an embarrassing thing to answer. Like, some people are proud of it. Some people are ashamed. I've talked to people who drove 6 hours to gigs and stuff.
We got Louisville.
Cincinnati, Columbus. And those are like... how far away? I mean... 4 or 5. It's kind of hard to have this conversation with 100 people. What's your name? Jimmy Harmon, Nancy. But I think that's amazing when people drive all that way. And then sometimes I go, are you staying at a hotel here tonight? And they say, no, they're going to drive all the way back. And then sometimes I reach out and I take their hand and I say, you're staying with me.
Whoa.
And whether it's a dude or a girl or hopefully both, Aaron and I take him back to our hotel room at the Comfort Inn, and we put on some Chardet. We smoke a J. Do a little TM. It's transcendental meditation. And basically enact that SNL sketch about the guys that like Cointreau. Okay. all right, Cayman, what do we do for you? What do you want?
What do I want?
I'm kidding. I don't remember.
Oh.
No, I mean, what do you want? I just didn't mean to say it in a weird way.
I'll take some more vodka at the very least.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't mean to steamroll it.
No. You've earned it. You've earned these lights. Drink your science spinach.
Well, it's Monday night. Every night is drink night for scientists. It's what powers science, basically.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, most science gets done Tuesday morning, or...?
Most science gets done at the bar, I'd say.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you. You guys get drunk, and then the... Are there any science bars in town where... the slide rule, the bronze slide rule,
yeah, the bronze slide rule, yeah,
the graduated cylinder.
The nano shot,
the flask.
Yeah. Okay,
the Erlenmeyer flask,
the dot connector.
That's sciencey.
Schrodinger's hangover.
E equals Jim Beam squared. No, that's not. That's a drink special at that place.
Weinstein's.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Come on, anybody got one?
Beekman's world is the. What's the one where the ladies?
Adam Goldberg.
That's not nice. That's Garrett with one R.
From Nashville, right?
Coyote
Ugly.
Yeah, Beekman's world is the Coyote Ugly of science bars. That was too long.
Jesus! Holy crap.
Yeah, that was a Mobius strip.
I like that.
The Mobius strip club. The Mobius strip club.
Where
there's only one titty, but it goes it goes all around.
There's no nipple.
Yeah.
Infinite titties.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lap dance, but it's like all of a sudden you're on her lap, and it's
Put your hands together for Tesseract. She's a wrinkle in time, boys. Get your tips out. She's got infinite titties, but we don't have infinite time. Remember, Heisenberg's principle still applies. If you touch it, it stops being allowed.
Don't forget, you can get a private lap dance in the wormhole.
Who knows what goes by back there? Get your super strings out. Yeah, I know. It's getting grody.
It's singularity night. Anybody who came alone.
All right. All right. So what's it? We've got a scientist up on stage, Jeff.
Pop quiz.
Okay.
You ask him science questions and try to stump him.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Could science ever? Well, I mean,
fight the predator. Who would win in a fight?
Science or the predator?
Science could at least see the predator.
Right.
So,
and measure him.
But whether we could fight him or not, or her, I don't know.
Right.
Nice.
Right. Scientific, very open minded. Predator might be a lady.
Social science.
All right. Well, let's have a hand for Cayman and
Cayman, everybody.
Send him back to his lab. Yeehaw! Science, 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 science. Well, 2 + 2 = 4, and a boot plus a boot is a shoe. I'm a funky science cowboy. How do you do? Like to take you back to my ranch shack and put you on your back, give a double slide rule track. Fuck your butt and lick your nuts, put my hat on the foot of your bed. Not much of rhyming happening, but I got a big bowl crappening out in the back with my Carl Sagan shack science cowboy. Outer space is the place for me. Got a big green face and no TV. Got a big boot cowboy, boot fork, boot plate. Line dancing, square dancing. Four lines make a square.
I played the short version. I fucked up. You got a big bowl crappening? Fucked his butt. Licked his nuts.
But you put your hat in the foot of his bed. Because you're a science cowboy.
It's what you do. It's called peer review. It's a scientific principle. It's,
His ass was the control.
I'll see. Yeah. I'll see. The hypothesis is over. Hat's on your bed. You got fucked. It's a law now. Science. Nobody ever understands this when I say this. That science is like the best religion. Like scientists get offended by that because they're like, we're not a religion. And of course, religious people don't want to think that science is a religion. But I mean, religion should be like what? How much more like religious could you get than trying to figure out how everything works? And everybody joining hands and moving toward the center of the universe and trying to find like corner God. And either he's gonna be there or nothing will be there. In which case, nothing is God. Who cares? It's still awesome. Like just like playing peekaboo with like the origins of everything and like not letting it escape by calling each other out on everything and publishing all your findings and being open source and like kneeling before this altar of these rules that say this is how you figure shit out. Always, you know, like always be careful. Always be calling yourself out on your own bullshit. Otherwise, someone will also call you out on it. And kind of like it's a beautiful little, and they have little outfits. They have little white coats. Even if they're not doing anything that involves, you know...
It's kind of priestly. It's kind of clerical. Yeah. Yeah,
and it is the new religion, I mean, obviously, for better or for worse. But some people use that as an excuse to get all jaded and cynical. They're like, oh, well, there is no God. Well, yeah, there's not a Santa Claus God. We know that. We disproved that, like, when we dug up a dinosaur bone. But, you don't have to be an asshole just because your mom was wrong. We have like hover cars and stuff. But, you know, now more than ever, don't be a dick because you could hit more people with a hover car. Go get bombs that could blow up the whole world. Be a good person. Like Genghis Khan would do a lot of damage these days. You know. Scientists have to, like, they're the only ones that can save us. I think if they. If they adopt a kind of like, you know, humanist perspective and go, okay, look, we're a group of scientists and we've decided like we gotta be cool to one another because no one else has any power. Nobody's listening to anybody else because the other people that are saying you have to be cool to one another are also hiding rapists. They're not, you know, they can't be trusted. They're weird. They say that the Bible's a newspaper. They're like backward. Don't be evil. Which means just don't like hurt other people because it's your species, you know. Like that's scientific. Protect the DNA. We were a nearly extinct species, and we were in God's crosshairs so many times. Like this planet's been trying to kill us forever. Like we're a freak. We're like the Harry Potter of species. Like we're not supposed to be walking around with these big melons on top of our shoulders. Like we took weird risks to get where we are.
But there are people that say that competition between humans. Like there are people that think that that's what makes us advance. Like that human conflict is that's what propels progress.
Well, that may have been, maybe that was true for 6,000 years, and now it has to stop being true. I mean, maybe it's like we're choking on each other. We're sleeping on top of each other. If you also want to stab somebody, it's like a lot of people are going to get stabbed. Like I think when we were tribal and you were walking around and then you encountered another tribe, yeah, maybe the instinct to not all lay down together and have half as many berries, maybe that was like a bad idea. Maybe it was important to slit each other's throats and whoever picks berries better survived that day. But we're in a tour bus now. If I got berries on the mind and a switchblade in my hand, you're a dead man. It's more important that we figure out a set of rules so we can all have some berries. And there's also too many berries. We know how to make a million berries. We make fake berries. There's a whole store every 5 miles full of like weird Frankenberries. Thank you, sir. He knows what I'm talking about. Don't forget Booberry. It's not that kind of dialogue. It's not just say anything.
But how are you supposed to know until you try? Just yell out the names of products. It's fine. I heard Listerine, Hula Hoop. This guy's mad at his dad. It's fine. What is, God knows I don't have anything to say. What was I talking about? Scientists?
I don't know. You're talking about tribal people stabbing each other and berries.
Now that we are 7 billion strong, now that we know how to make buildings float, almost, look it up. We're almost about to be able to clone each other, and computers are almost smarter than us, and all this shit's coming to a head. Like, we gotta get our shit together, not physically, like emotionally. We gotta get our shit together spiritually, for lack of a better word. We have to know when this next catastrophe happens, like what our priorities are. It's about to happen. We got a couple days left, Jeff. 3 days left.
When does this podcast drop?
4 days from now.
We really should have speed that up.
I hope you find it in a bottle on dry land. I want to be a cult leader. We'll work on that as we head back home.
All right. I think right now it's time to say what?
Cult leader, Indiana.
Oh really? If, yeah, Indiana's.
Jim Jones.
Oh really? Jim Jones is from Indiana.
Yeah. Wow.
This guy says Jim Jones was a Sunday school teacher at his grandma's church.
Wow. Is your grandma alive?
Yes.
Okay, good, good.
Jesus.
Holy smoke. Any other infamous Hoosiers?
John Dillinger?
John Dillinger?
Larry Bird?
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, notorious baby raper. Huh? Ed Gein? Greg Kinnear? The infamous Greg Kinnear.
John Mellencamp.
I saw that on Wikipedia.
That's cool.
John Mellencamp still lives here, right?
Michael Jackson?
Gary, no. Indiana.
Hmm. Gary, Indiana's from Indiana. Not Louisiana, Paris, France, New York, or Rome. But Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. My home sweet home. Jeez, wow. Big Music Man following here. But yeah,
I mean they have to keep they're in a neck and neck competition with Oklahoma for mentions in a musical. They gotta, like, if they let it slip in this state, it's like everyone's gonna, oh, that wonderful actually, musical where they mention that state.
Indiana,
Oklahoma.
Indiana's 14th in musical mentions. All right, D&D time, everybody. It's D&D time.
All right, can we get Aaron up here?
Aaron McGathy to the stage. Aaron McGathy.
Also, a guy named Bland has some dice for me.
Bland?
Yeah.
His name is Bland.
The dice are not Bland, however.
Bland. Is it Bland, like B-L-A-N-D? All right. A gentleman has come on stage carrying a satchel.
Thank you, Blaine.
And he has a Pringles can over his dick.
He's wearing a Pringles can out of his dick. Do people ever call you Pringles dick?
Some.
Yeah?
It's extreme dill pickle. Oh, the flavor is even
better. Did you pick out that can? Specifically.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Someone's going to get the Jolly Rogers.
Oh, no, guys. It's a donation to a kid's charity.
Chicken noodle can.
Wow. That is some meta shit. For those of you who have no idea what's going on, I kind of do. We have a song. We have songs about Pringles dick that we sing on the bus, and also a song where you hold a Pringles can. Wait, how did you hear that, too? You just put it through your fly?
Yeah. Well, you probably have, like, a big dick in the way when you do this stuff. I've been able to do this for years.
Here I am.
Ain't got a dick, I got a chicken noodle can. All my life, I've been putting this can inside my chicken noodle wife. Chicken noodle God come down from the mountain saying, chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away. Soup to the bowl, bowl to the spoon. Spoon to your mouth, you're gonna get well soon.
Gotta get a little bed rest, sleep until noon. Grab a pot of coffee, then head to the saloon. Singing chicken noodle God come down from the mountain saying, chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away. Well, the wind blows south and come what may. My chicken noodle wife left me just the other day. There's not much else I can do but pray, because chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle God come down from the mountain saying, chicken noodle God, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away.
Bland, everybody. Giving the gift of a chicken noodle can outside of a Pringles can. We have to write a song that fits inside a chicken noodle soup can, and then it's like the Russian nesting dolls.
Yeah. But I was just thinking, Bland, I am so sorry about the either already having occurred or imminent homicide of your parents. Bland the fourth. Your dad, meaning like, did your dad name four kids Bland, or
is it it's Bland with no D, right? Or is it Bland?
Like dull and tasteless.
And you're the fourth generation of Blands?
Yes, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather.
Holy wow. Shit! Wow. So that's ironic.
Hence the piercing.
It is powerful and flavorful that you're the fourth Bland. Like that's a.
And also that he chose extreme dill to put on his dick. Yeah,
it's the pickle. It's, you know,
yeah, Bland. Yeah. Do you only drink? Do you only consume extreme flavors?
I try to. Actually, this really made me burp a lot of dill flavor.
Oh, you ate
afterwards.
Them?
Yeah, I ate some of them and then dumped.
Yeah, that's not a flavor I'd grab off the shelf or expect to ever find.
It's got a sour meter on it.
Oh God!
It's a super stack. You can test your taste buds, and it's the screaming dill pickle, extreme flavor.
Guess we gotta do Pringles Dick song with Bland.
Do you know Pringles Dick?
I don't know all of it, but I know some of it.
Some people call me Pringles Dick, but I never really found out why. I don't really have a Pringles Dick, I just keep my dick inside.
Don't.
I keep my dick inside a Pringles can, because it keeps my penis safe and dry. Some people call me Pringles Dick, but I never really found out. No, I never found out. Never really found out why.
Bland.
Thank you, Bland. Cheers, brother.
Bland. I know he's got a little tie in the back.
That was some complicated shit.
It's weird that he put all the time into making the Pringles Dick thing, ate the chip.
How was that staying?
Doesn't really know the whole song.
How was that can staying in your pants? Just by zipper force?
Yeah. I don't know. Why are you bewildered by that?
I'm just surprised it doesn't fall out.
Haven't you ever put something in your zipper and pretended it was your dick?
My dick. I guess the answer is no.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Spencer, catch us up to date, if you would.
Here, you want to pass this down.
The character sheets are being dispensed.
When we last met, our heroes came to in the belly of a mythical creature known only as the Infinifish. Our heroes were discovered by a group of seven humans and a halfling that formed a tribe deep within the bowels of the great beast. Meeting with Aaliyah, the leader of the fish dwellers, the chieftain led the heroes to their village, a safe haven nestled between the arterial landscape of the fish's insides. It was there that Mulrain and Sharpie, in a moment of tension and feelings, had a deep but important conversation about their complicated relationship. Afterwards, they headed to one of the villagers' stores and bought some ropes, potions, and syringes full of paralyzing agents. They didn't know how, but they knew they had to escape. Go!
Spencer, everybody.
So if you recall, you're in this village. It's been made out of things that the fish has eaten. And you were talking to the chieftain.
Yeah.
You got some stuff.
All right. So we were talking about making this fish barf us up, you know, like Pinocchio style, right?
Yeah, they're two episodes behind. We got swallowed by a big giant fish and we're trying to make it barf.
What about it?
Teleportation what?
Yeah, you have that cloak. It teleports.
Jesus,
yeah.
I have a teleportation cloak?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you teleport out to the blowhole? Maybe it doesn't have a blowhole. Maybe it's not a whale.
How does that cloak work?
You don't even know, man. Your dad showed it to you, and you didn't seem to have a mastery of it.
All right. Just go for it anyways. Can I think about the top of this Infinifish?
Okay, you can think about the top of it. That right, happens.
Think about it.
All right, you're thinking about it.
I it's use the
clear
cloak
in your mind.
I whip it around me like Alec Baldwin in the shadow.
It makes a weird noise. It looks like it's out of juice for the day.
You're out of juice for the day.
Kinda.
Dungeon snap.
If anyone wants to top me off.
All right, so nope. we have to get this whale to expurge us somehow, right? We want to get coughed up out of here.
Hey, give me some of those crystals. Remember when we got first on board this Finnifish and you had those your healing crystals shattered and it had little crystals that were absorbed in your body and you got back up to 40 hit points? Do you have any of those extra crystals left?
I hand him my crystals.
All right, you hand him your crystals.
Can I rub them on the cloak?
The rest of the cribble.
Is there a battery compartment?
Rubbing the crystals on the cloak. They glow softly, but then grow inert.
All right, you can have them back. They're dumb.
Several of the crystals dissolve, healing you to full health.
Oh, oops, sorry. I accidentally healed myself.
These people, their dwellings are made out of wood.
Yep.
What if we ask them if we could set their homes on fire?
Go on.
And obviously take them with us, and maybe if we set their homes on fire, the fish would spit us out, or just burn up, and we'd all die.
Do you want to consult, or do you just want to start setting fires?
No. May I consult with the leader of the fish dwellers?
I am the leader of the fish dwellers.
Hey.
I heard you talking about things.
Yes. First of all, I want to say that I greatly respect your architecture and your house, and secondly, can we set it on fire?
We live here. Is there any reason? Do you just like? Are you a pyromaniac? Or?
No. I don't hate fire, but you said that you've been here for a long time. I don't know how passionate you are about leaving, but we certainly are. Maybe we can work together. Set your home on fire, and we can all leave. Maybe the mouth will just open. The fish will open its mouth. We can all leave. Also, you look great.
Thanks. Well, you see, stories tell of my grandpappy. The first three ships that sailed through here, we did indeed light on fire, hoping that would work, but it seems the beast's insides are quite resistant to heat.
Oh, okay.
Jeff, do you have a little notepad?
Yeah.
Do you keep little D&D notes?
I sometimes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's got to take this shit seriously, you guys. Yeah.
It's what is that word on your paper? What does that say?
It's Leah, the name of the leader of the fish people.
Shit.
Fish God.
I write down the names of the people that come up on stage so I can thank them later on.
Oh, jeez.
That's very nice.
That's
very nice.
I draw little pictures of people. I've got my famous buttermilk biscuit recipe down in here. All right, so that was a good idea, Mulrain. I liked where you're going with that one, but
it sounds like a no.
It sounds like it's not a good idea. I'm glad I asked.
If you want to damage various parts of the fish's insides, that might work.
Let's go down and let's.
I mean, I don't know if killing the fish is a great idea, you know, or hurting it. It's like if this thing is like floating through the air,
right?
You know, and then you hurt it, like.
Do we know where the fish's, where the amphitifish's gag reflex is, where its uvula is?
You don't, but you have a feeling it might be somewhere along the digestive tract.
Weird.
I lead us off in the direction of the esophageal part of the fish.
Aaliyah says, you can go fish west to its primary digestive tract. You can go fish south, but no one ever goes fish south.
Why doesn't
anyone? Because you get pooped.
Let's go get pooped.
Well, don't.
Let's go.
Yes. Why do we get pooped?
Because everyone who ever gone that way is dead.
Well, Kenny because tried I've it once. Never seen them again.
Yeah, Kenny tried it once. He never returned.
He never. Well,
some say he escaped, but others say he perished, and others maintain that he never existed. So, either way.
So we can make him sneeze or gag. Or we can punch a hole through them, or we can go get pooped out the Infinifish. But then we're going to be floating out in the sky, right?
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
So do, okay, but and we don't want that. So hypothetically, we want a ship to fly inside the fish. And then we get on the fish, on the ship.
You could. You also have a broken ship. You could repair it if you thought you wanted a ship.
Can I use portable hull?
To do what?
To fall through it?
It doesn't like put a hole in a wall. It just makes a pit appear. So like you get in the pit, and it wouldn't take you to the other side.
So it's more
it.
Like a hiding spot.
Yeah, it's a hiding spot.
Are you able to pull those holes? I'm just curious. Like when you go into them, are you able to pull them down into the?
Like pull it into itself?
Yeah.
Like you'd probably turn inside out and explode or something.
I don't know. I'm feeling lucky today. I say we go try the poop chute.
Yeah.
You see a purple pulsating sphincter to the south. It seems tiny, but you might be able to squeeze through.
Can you say that 10 times fast?
No.
I'm a little. I'll go first.
Wait. Oh. Stop.
Yeah.
I just want to Instagram this. No. I want to tie a rope around you.
Okay. Oh, great idea!
Yeah, thanks.
She, you bought rope, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I have rope. I'll tie. I'm tying rope around Quark's waist. I'm tying that to my
two tugs means I'm in an infinite toilet and I'm drowning.
Right.
Pull me back. One tug is means
good to go.
Follow me.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And if you start tugging a lot of times, we'll start writing it down like it's a song.
Like Morse code?
Yeah, but a song, but a beat to a song.
Okay. Actually, we better eliminate one tug as an option because one tug could be a chaotic thing generated by Alzheimer's.
Okay, so shave and a haircut. That means don't come in here.
Don't come.
Yeah, don't come in. But if I go, that means you can come in.
That means.
So if you're yank. Don't come in.
I don't think I don't want to.
Yank. That
Quark,
means it's good to go.
Quark. No, so if you go through the anus it's imminent danger, you're going to be like, all right,
because that's the system.
Okay.
That's the system.
All right. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So
you think you'll have that presence of mind no matter what happens.
Look, fuck it. That's absolutely yank.
Don't come. But
yeah.
Come down.
I am in a toilet.
Calm down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So I tie the rope firmly around my midsection and squeeze through the purple pulsating anus.
Muscular action sucks you in, and you find yourself in a narrow red passageway. It opens up to an outcropping that looks over a lake of acid. On the far wall, you can see a similar outcropping.
Am I safe where I'm standing?
You're safe where you're standing.
Yank.
So that means we don't go.
No. Didn't you hear the last two yanks?
Oh.
I mean, that means he's probably perfectly safe, not standing over an outcropping of acid. So we'll keep our end of the bargain and follow him.
Okay. Sharpie, really quick, before we go into Zanus, I just had to tell you that last night was pretty heavy, but I love you, and I love you forever. I don't care what happens.
I know. I give her a passionate kiss, or at least one that it's so that the it's taken so long to do that it's passionate.
It's passionate.
to the fans.
What part of yank did you guys not understand?
All right, let's go. All right, okay, I'm next. I'm going into the anus.
Go.
I proceed.
All right. On the far wall, you see a similar purple pulsating sphincter.
A few giant wasps flit around the room, dizzy, circling loose.
Wasps?
Yeah, giant ones.
All right. Well, the biological analog is breaking down for me.
So there are two sphincters?
There's two, yeah. So
we've entered through one, and there's another one along the other passage. So, like, you know, like we could be in a stomach kind of chamber. But it's acid, so I think we're probably...
I feel like the infinite fish being an infinitely big, almost, organism probably just... has more like big lakes of acid that kind of break down things in different stages.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. We're in the stomach right now. Yeah.
But if you could fly above it, you wouldn't dissolve.
Oh.
Yep.
I fly above it.
Well,
you can. I use my teleportation. Oh, wait, you said it's out of juice.
Yeah.
Wait, can't you fly, Dan? Didn't you have a fly thing?
Well, I have a feather fall. If I start to fall, I could slowly lower myself into the acid. I wouldn't like break my neck on impact or anything.
I take one of Mulrain's arrows and tie the rope to it and say, shoot the arrow into the far wall and we'll climb across it like rope bridge style.
Oh, boy.
I shoot an arrow.
Okay. You shoot an arrow. It flies across the room, but much like the cord of your microphone, which just fell on the floor, the rope disengages itself. It doesn't cross the chasm.
I need to consult you about one of my spells.
Yeah.
Don't I have Tensor's floating disc?
Tensor's floating disc, yes.
Is it, you know, does that have any range to it? Can anyone get on that and I can send them across?
They can get on it, but I feel like there's a weight limit. I think it's like 100
Excuse me?
Well, Sharpie's pretty small. Or Quark.
Yeah, okay. You could probably send Quark over. You're not so sure whether you can get...
You put me in a frisbee and throw me across the acid lake?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I have like a thing called Tensor's floating disc. It's like a way to. It's like a floating hover sled, so I can put equipment on it.
Okay.
But Spencer, after I turn into a woman, I weigh like 50 pounds now, right?
50? I don't know.
What's the standard weight like for a woman?
Dead.
Ladies.
I don't know.
Okay.
100. Just 100. Yeah, reduced person.
Yeah, yeah, reduce one of us and send.
Please don't
reduce
me.
Mulrain and throw her across the acid.
If I reduce Mulrain, will the weight limit of the of her, will she plus Quark be under the weight limit of Tensor's floating disc?
I'm just gonna say yes.
Okay, all right. I cast reduce person on Mulrain.
Typical.
Then I cast Tensor's floating disc.
Okay.
Put the two of them on the disc.
Yep.
And oogie boogie.
All right. Your maneuver works. They're on the other side.
All right. Oh.
See you later.
You know, they applauded for less in Brooklyn, you know.
Can I
applauded like a 3-point ray of frost.
Can
attack.
Can we throw the disc back to him so he can get on it?
Yeah.
I throw the disc back to Sharpie.
There you go.
And I scream out, "This is from both of us."
Well, I don't think I can I get on my own floating disc?
Yeah. Yeah.
You sound unsure.
I am kind of unsure. I'm just rolling with it.
Rolling with it.
All right. That's what I do. I get on my own floating disc.
Woo. Slowly, it hovers across. You've piqued the attention of the flying wasps.
Oh, shit.
Shit, man.
Are you using the dice the guy gave you?
Yeah, I am. And it's not boding well.
Thanks, Bland.
Two of the wasps streak out of the air towards you, pointing their vicious stings. You manage to deflect one of the blows, but it strikes you right in the shoulder. You feel stinging pain as 7 damage enters you.
7 damage
enters your body.
Scorching Ray!
Scorching Ray! It misses. It flies into the wall.
Fire some arrows.
What should I fire them at?
The wasps.
Oh, the wasps. Yeah. Sorry.
You just made out with this guy, and now you're just watching him getting his ass kicked. Right?
I'm swooning.
I'm swooning.
As a woman, I'm just thinking about babies and doilies. I fired. Okay, so it's just one wasp. I fire one arrow.
Like a regular arrow.
A regular arrow, right, but cool. I'm really focusing, Spencer.
Yeah, you are. You hit it!
Yeah!
Right in the wing. The wing falls off of its body and careens into the lake of acid.
All right,
your ascent or movement continues.
All right, Tenzernized.
You get to the far outcropping.
Tenzer's disc out.
The other wasp is droning lazily around. He knows better than to mess with y'all.
Okay, cool. Let's not fuck with that guy.
No.
All right. So what are we looking at now, Spencer?
Purple sphincter.
Purple sphincter. Same system.
Same system.
Same system.
Although, can I recommend?
Can we talk about those shoes and a haircut?
Yeah. Like. It just seems like. Now let's just same system. Shoes. Sorry.
Okay, but it's okay. So if something's going wrong, then you say. Okay, so that's bad. Think so that's it, bad.
No, yeah,
bad.
Right. If there's
yeah,
because no
that's
choice.
What happened before. Yeah. And
I'm
it wasn't
in a butthole.
Come in.
Come in.
I'm in a butthole.
I'm in a butthole. If I don't say
okay.
That,
think of it this way. Okay.
Did you think of it this way? Okay.
I'm in terrible danger. Just kidding. So the
okay.
Two tugs negate.
That makes sense to me.
So no, yeah.
Oh, okay. Baby's so smart. Yeah. Baby system's so good. Is there something on my face?
No, I'm worried that there is mine. I don't. I've been conditioned before you got up here. There was hair hanging everywhere.
Sorry.
All right. I'm in terrible danger.
Okay. I tie the rope around my waist and ease my way through the other sphincter.
You climb into the sphincter and immediately feel embraced by powerful muscular action.
Story of Jeff's life.
Yeah.
That's true.
Immediately, you feel the rope snap. Your side, Sharpie and Mulran, it goes
slack.
Oh, no.
Slack. Oh, no.
You're being pushed through a fleshy opening with insane speed. You feel like you're falling, then being pulled upwards and all around, and suddenly you're falling again.
Oh, shit.
So we're not feeling any signals. Is he fine?
No, you feel it go slack.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. Okay. Holy shit!
Is the rope? I pull on the rope.
It comes out.
It's broken?
Yes.
Okay, I tie the rope to another arrow.
Okay.
I fire the arrow right on the rim of the sphincter.
All right, you miss.
You could just stab it in if you'd like.
Oh, okay, I stab it in.
That's fair, okay.
Also, gross.
Okay.
grosser than shooting it.
Okay, so if I'm able to stab it, okay, I thought I had to go across something.
Meanwhile, little help!
My chicken noodle can't fall off.
Okay, I tie the rope to my foot. I tie the rope to my foot. I take out two arrows. I am holding them in my hand, and I say to Sharpie, "Hold on to the other side of the rope."
Okay.
We'll do the same system. I'm going to find Quirk.
Okay, it's gonna snap. The rope's gonna snap.
No, but it won't because I have arrows with me. He didn't have any arrows.
How are the arrows? What do you mean?
Because maybe something stabbed the rope apart, and they didn't have a. Is this a bad idea? We can switch.
It seems like they're going to get the same results here. We need to. He's gone into the intestinal tract. We need to just either follow him or forget we ever knew him.
Well, then let's follow him. Let's double bind our feet. Just to be.
I have a potion of enlarged person. I'm wondering if I drink it just as I go in.
Right.
Just give this thing the biggest duke.
You may enlarge
ever.
The tunnel, and if he's stuck, then he'll. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I mean, I don't know. It just seems like a random thing to do, but.
Don't be shy. You're so smart.
I charge headlong into the sphincter as I drink a potion of enlarged person.
All right.
Story Dan's life.
You too get sucked into the sphincter. You travel around in it. As you get larger and larger, it doesn't seem to affect the speed of the esophageal ascendance. You too soon are falling.
Uh-oh.
You land on a fleshy outcropping on the side of a big red pit. Below you, you could see the ship you crashed here on.
Am I there too?
You were there too.
What's up?
You've just been sitting there for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you guys doing? Talking about how smart you were and just fucking doing bullshit?
Before you get judgmental, you might want to realize you're going to be around us for a while. We just came full circle. That's our ship down there.
Oh, wait, so we just wasted a bunch of time?
On the small ledge is a small campfire as well as a green tent.
Who's on this ledge?
You guys are both on
this ledge. Oh, we're both on it?
All right. On the other side of the sphincter.
Yeah.
Let's go up to the green tent.
All right, that happens.
I knock on the flap.
It doesn't sound like much, but you hear the rustling and shaking of something exiting the tent. Oh, what's he look like? Okay. Out climbs a tall, thin elf with long blonde hair. He's wearing stained red leather clothes, and at his side is a magnificent longsword with a pristine golden blade.
Shing.
Haldo, I am Prince Valicent of the Valicent Fiefdom.
Hello.
What brings you to my outcropping?
Well, we just went through some butts.
We were trying to get pooped out of a fish.
Well, you were close. You got pooped somewhere. Just to my little camp. How's it going? Do you want a sandwich?
What's it made of?
Fish innards.
Listen, is there a way to get out of this fish? I mean, I know.
I don't know much about navigation, although what I do know is sword mastery. I am a sword master, and I master all swords.
Can't we just slice our way out of this thing? Can't we just start slicing and dicing and punch a hole?
The thing about such great beasts is, although you can do hefty damage to their insides, muscular action tends to close the wounds, sealing any pathway out. You'd have to do something pretty dangerous to some of the vital organs to knock this thing out of the air.
Meanwhile, I jump into the sphincter to join them.
Whoosh. Splarf.
But if we knock this thing out of the air, don't we all die anyway?
Maybe. I mean, that's all up to you. What if it, like, vomits you into, like, a cushion plane? A plane of eternal cushioning.
So we have to go get, like, to a heart or a lung or something like that and go stab it in the heart?
I'm not much of an infinifish biologist by any means, but...
You're more of a swordsman.
Yeah.
What are you good at?
I'm good at swords. Like, okay, check this out. Shoot an arrow.
All right, I shoot one arrow.
Okay, you shoot it over the side of the pit. As it descends towards the earth, he unsheathes his sword and in a single fluid motion strikes with his blade.
Shing.
Although he's a good 30 feet off, you could see the arrow break into half and fall into pieces.
Like Robin Hood men in tights.
Does he have like magic far sword powers?
He's just fast with knives. It's a Mel Brooks movie. It's not realistic.
All right. So we need to take this guy on a journey up to the organs and use his sword to destroy the heart of this thing, probably, right?
Yeah, he's got fire sword abilities.
Yeah. So
I don't have a problem with you guys, escaping, but I kind of dig it. The Valicent Kingdom was pretty shitty.
Wait, what are you talking about? You like it inside a fish?
Yeah, it's like there's sandwiches.
Well, would you?
That's
listen,
it.
If you come with us, you'll have sandwiches that aren't made of fish innards.
Like, what else do you put in a sandwich?
How long have you been here?
I mean, we just ate fish sandwiches, too. That's typical.
There's a whole world out there. You
Maybe
can do anything you want.
Maybe we can show you some affection.
No.
Yeah, my girlfriend will fuck you, I guess, is what she's saying. I don't know why she's saying that.
Oh, she'll fuck you. And I mean fuck you. You're gonna have a pussy sandwich.
Believe me, I have my share of portable holes.
Oh.
Ew.
I wish portable holes had never existed in this universe.
I can make mine pretty stationary.
Well, I guess the conversation's moot because you said you'd like to help us, but you want to stay. But
I just
maybe
all,
you could just show us
swords.
Away and then go back.
Is there anything that we could offer you that you would that you value that we might be able to bribe you with?
Do you have any weapons or?
I have a couple swords.
Yeah,
I have an emerald dagger.
Yeah,
I have a sense of adventure.
Wait, didn't you say you'd be happy to help us?
I'd be happy to help you with any sword-related problems or, you know, sword-related expertise.
I have a great flaming sword. It's pretty cool.
You don't have to give him anything. Huh? He's going to help us anyway.
Is he? Is?
Yeah. He likes helping.
Hey, come with us and we'll just talk swords.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you and I, we'll talk swords all day long. We'll play sword fight.
Have you heard the new, like, Broadsword Monthly?
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow.
I did. I wrote a piece for it.
I can't believe it gets delivered here of all places. But yeah, I mean, you seem pretty cool. Let's talk. Let's go.
All right.
How do I get down?
Well, you got to get up.
Feather fall?
All right.
Can I cast that on other people?
Sounds good, yeah.
On
yep.
I can cast that on other people?
Yeah, you can cast it on people.
All right.
Yeah.
I cast feather fall on everybody.
On everybody. That's going to take up most of your spells. You're going to need some rest after this, but you gently float to the pit, the bottom of it. You're back where you started.
Back where we started. What a great adventure. Back where we started.
Cliffhanger!
Back where you started.
Thank you, Aaron McGathy. Now, we're not where we started, because now we got a guy with super far sword powers, and he's going to help us kick ass.
No, I know. That's the point of a story, Jeff. You go in little cycles.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wasn't being derogatory when I said back where we started.
Oh, good. Now, what do you feel like you started the show, speaking of cycles, wondering where we were in the Joseph Campbellian thing? It seems like tonight was pretty easy. It was very supportive.
Maybe
very
too
fun.
Easy. Too easy for $20, right? Like some people are, I drove 6 hours. Why was the what, for $20?
Do you feel
why
like
is
audience,
it so easy?
Do you feel like the audience needs you to work a little harder, break a sweat up here?
No, I think the audience needs to give me validation so that I can know that I gave them their $20 worth.
Well, they already gave you $20, though.
They gave the club $20, but I'm saying, like, I don't want to cheat them. I don't want them to call the Better Business Bureau. I want to... Buck some mamas? Oh, fuck some mamas. Oh, okay. I think they're saying that if I do some freestyle rapping, then that'll make their ticket price worthwhile.
All right. Do you want to do the grand finale rap, or do you want to do one of the freestyle styles?
I don't know. Let's try the... Do we have any Rihannas in the audience? Any Didos? Any
girls that can come up and sing the pee is yellow, poop is brown hook to our thing?
At the very least, we have Ruth, right?
Yeah, Ruth.
Not at the very least. I didn't mean that.
How about let's reinvite Ruth to the stage. Ruth, would you mind?
The phrase "at the very least" was not appropriate. I just meant. Because you already we.
Well, I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
Oh, so. Okay.
Well, it's very easy.
There's a refrain. Okay, so I do terrible, awesome freestyle rapping, and then there's a chorus that's like sort of a. It's just you singing like the lyrics are.
Come on down to Harmon Town. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmon Town.
Yo, trial run with a first verse. Could be better, motherfucker, could be worse. Put some chicken on my dick and some Pringles inside. Fucked your mama till I saw she was twice as wide. I've said the same words before, and you rhyme the same words that you did before. Before rhymes with before. It doesn't matter. It's a first verse, and it doesn't matter. Sing.
Come on down to Harmon Town. Turn that frown upside down.
We all forgot
pee
it.
Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmon Town.
Indiana, where the rivers flow. I fucked your mama so hard she didn't know where to go. I made her internal compass in her inner ear spin around till she was like a bird that had experienced so much fear that it didn't know how to live, and eaten so many worms that its stomach started to give, and the bird exploded and rain got down, and your mama's so fuckable. I can't believe it.
Come on down to Harmon Town.
Gets better. Gets better.
Pee is yellow, poop is brown.
Practice.
Come on down to Harmon Town.
What's your name?
Kyle.
Yeah, I like to fuck his mama for a while. Your name, sir, it is?
Colin.
I fucked your mama so hard she started falling. I fucked Kyle's mama, then I fucked Colin's. I fucked up other mamas. Whatever, I think there was gonna go. It doesn't make any sense that I would do that. This cord will only reach so far. Yo. Come on down. Just give me a second. Yeah, okay.
Turn that frown upside down.
Vicinity.
Pee is yellow, poop is brown.
Proximity.
Come on down to Harmon Town.
What's your name?
Ryan.
Is the man. Fucked his mama hard like she needed an oil can. He's the only one I can reach. What's your name again?
Right.
That's what I thought. I'm trying to work the crowd and rap at the same time, and it's harder than I thought it would be. This cord don't reach. What's your name?
Right.
Just rapping, working the crowd at the end of the cord. What's your name?
Brad.
Brad does it. Fucked his mama in all of her closets. What's your name?
David.
David, no it's not. Fucked your mama. But on second thought, David's mama came to my house just the other day. Fucked her on the scale, said, bitch, now you pay what you weigh. I fucked her 400 times. I fucked her so hard she had little grimes of residue from me. I'm sorry.
Turn that frown upside down.
That was gross.
She is yellow, poop is brown.
It happens.
Come on down to Harmontown.
And your name is?
Eric.
Yeah, and you do what for a living?
Sell cell phones.
Yeah. That's the truth. That's the stone cold truth. Eric sells cell phones for Verizon, but I fucked your mama so hard she started to get surprising results from my knob and my balls, and I fucked her up to Canada.
Niagara Falls!
I fucked your mama. I fucked your mama. I fucked your mama. Fuck your mama. Fuck your mama. I'm so sorry.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down.
Microphone.
He is yellow, poop is brown.
Strength.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Ruthie's up on the mic singing songs. I fucked your mama so hard I didn't do it too long. I only had to do it shortly because I did it hard. I fucked your mama like my penis was a little shard. There's only so many words that rhyme with so many words. I keep rhyming the same words with the same words. We gotta think of new stuff or I gotta stop rapping. You requested it, but it's really starting to be crapping out. I'm sorry, Indiana. I fucked your mama like her name was Brianna. And it might as well have been, because who cares what her name was? Why do you fuck someone like their name was something? That's a stupid idea. It's a great state, and you deserve much better. I fucked Indiana's mama the other day. Blah, 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 something gay. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Fucked your mama, da-da-da, something about a shoe. Put your hat on your dick and your balls and butt. I fucked your mama like she had a pussy and a butt. I fucked your mama and her nuts and her balls. I fucked her titties in the barrel.
Niagara Falls.
Fucked your mama in the north and the south. And the face and the nose and the
butt
ears and
the mouth.
Yeah. Fucked your mama like she was a pussy. Fucked her on VH1 with Gary Busey. I fucked your mama on the carpet and the rug. I fucked your mama like my dick was a bug. That's a new one.
So you can do it then.
Yeah, yeah.
You're learning.
All right.
He's teaching
I
himself.
I fucked your mama like my dick was a bug. I put it deep inside her, in her pussy rug. Wait, I'm sorry. That was the other way around. Sorry. Right, sorry. Starting over. But I fucked your mama like her pussy was a rug. I put it in her like my dick was a bug. It went underneath the carpet, came out in the kitchen, made itself a milkshake, said, woman, quit your bitching. Got 16 hours I've been working today. I don't need to come home to hear this shit any other way. I want to watch Dukes a Hazard and have a sandwich. Oh, fuck, I want... Fuck, sandwich?
Thanks for coming to Harmontown, everybody.
Indiana.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Indiana.
You've been fun and forgiving.
Let's hear it one more time for Aaron McGathy.
Thanks, Ruthie.
Spencer Crittenden. Jared, who runs the place here at the Comedy Attic. Thank you so much, man. Who is the woman that brought us the great cookies and booze backstage? Who was that? Thank you. We'll talk to you afterwards. Thank you for that. Matt, the Gary Busey guy, Cayman, the guy in the row, Bland, the guy with the Pringles and the chicken soup, and everybody else. We love you. One more time, I'm Jeff Davis.
Cayman.
Your mayor, Dan Harmon, everybody.
And come see all the other check out the other acts here and stuff. They have cool people, it looks like.
Yeah, we're looking around on the wall, and we're seeing all of our groovy friends from back home. So yeah. Obviously, Jared and the guys here and the gals here know what they're doing. This is an awesome place. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you.
Let's all go to the bar.
bonus track. Bonus track.
Oh, shit.
No one will hear this on iTunes. What's up with black people? They're at it again. I've had it up to here. How much blacker are they gonna get? It's gotten out of control. It seems every day I open the newspaper. Okay, great. And I've had it.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Black people.
Turn that frown upside down.
Urban.
He is yellow, poop is brown.
Magic.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Black people are magical creatures, having all kinds of magical features. They can shrink down to the size of a bug and expand to the size of a boat that you call a tug. Boat. It's not that big, but it's not a small vehicle. It's just a small ship. It's aquatic in nature. I fucked your mama so hard I could have sworn. Ah, shit. It's a bonus track. A bonus track. What do you want? Did you think it was going to be a Criterion edition? Just a little racism and a shitty rap. That's what you get on your bonus track. All right, bonus track.
All right.
This is a deep bonus track. No one. Not only okay. The stat you hear on iTunes, then that thing about black people and that shitty rap where I couldn't rhyme nature. That was like a. That was like
nomenclature.
Right.
Legislature.
Yeah, yeah. Hey guys. I mean, 2020 quarterbacks. Monday morning.
2020
Hoosiers.
Quarterbacks. 2020 quarterbacks.
But this is deep, 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 secret deep cut. All right. We can really lay it on the line here. Deep cut. Secret track. Bonus rift. Too drunk. Can't do it. Singing a song. Saw a new face called Indiana, and it looked real good, and it chopped lots of wood, and it brought me inside for soup. It tasted good.
Damn good soup.
It's the worst song about Indiana. To make a little baby tiny version of me, and it draws sustenance from the walls that it sees, and it's eating food that your mama takes in all the time, so if she hops then it's gonna be bent. The baby's gonna be deformed, so don't let her do that. I'm not gonna be around. I'm a traveling entertainer, but if your mama fucks up that baby I put in her, I'll be back with the lawyer, and I'll take her to court, and I'll take that baby away from your mom, and I'll raise it in my Los Angeles mansion, and I'll teach it to read Beatles records, and it's so it won't really know how to read, and I'll tell it that math is based on fairies in some fancy German school, and it'll only suck its thumb till it's 13. And it'll have coke in its system until it's 17, and it'll think that's normal. And then it'll replace it with Adderall. It'll be on all these kinds of weird educational programs that don't prepare it for the real world. And then when I go broke at 60, your mama's kid will be broke too. And it'll just be wandering around out there like Andy Dick's son, just wondering what to do. Is there a way to merchandise this? What happened to me? I got hit by a parental truck. I was laying in the street, like waving a flag. I mean, I guess it's worse in Lebanon, but shit. Sorry for fucking your mom.
Sorry for fucking your mom.
In Bloomington. I hope she gives me a son. They're better than women. Even though women are better at swimming, men are better at running Capitol buildings and making guns. The worst. This is the worst thing I've ever done. It's a bonus. This is something that only you guys get. But, Jeff, sounds like they got their money's worth.
It's the Starburns Industries Tape of the Month Club. 12 original cassette tapes delivered to your door. Each month, you'll receive a crisp new cassette tape of auditory delights made by some of the most funky and creative artists around. Featuring Dino Stamatopoulos, Natalie Palamides, Johnny Pemberton, Dan Harmon, future Ladies of Wrestling, Alan Resnick and Dina Kelberman, Dynasty Handbag, Jeff B. Davis, Rob Schraub, Lance Bangs, DJ Doug Pound, Kron, Open Mike Eagle, Ron Lynch, and on and on. And on. Subscribe now. $13 gets you a crisp, unique tape in the mail each month. For $20, you receive a portable cassette player so you can listen to your tapes on the go. Here's how to order. For credit card customers, please call 747-888-0945. That's 747-888-0945. Or save COD charges and log onto the World Wide Web at d.rip/sbi-press. It's a good deal.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Koff, I loved you and Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Sonfeld, I love having you fuck